Well, good morning, everybody. I love this room set up this way. This makes me so happy. Welcome to our year-end say-so. I cannot believe it's here, you guys. I know people are still getting through the line and grabbing some food and coming on in, so just let this be a casual time. Yes, we're going to do some talking from up here, but you guys turn your chairs around, get comfortable, whatever works. If you need to get up and down to get some more things, that is totally fine. This is just a fun time to be together and just celebrate everything that the Lord has done this year, to wrap up where we've been, and just to ask the Lord to help us live lives of faith and action. So let me pray for us if I can, and then we'll jump in, okay? Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for these women who have been so faithful to just seek you, to look up in worship. Lord, to study your word and to ask you to empower them to walk out in faith. Lord, we all want to live lives of faith and action that glorify you. We want to be a blessing to others, to our families, to this community, to our world. We want to honor you. And God, I thank you. You've given us your son who rescues and saves and sets us free. And I thank you that you've given us each other, this precious sisterhood that encourages each other, that clings to you, is just a blessing to me, to this body, and to each other. So we celebrate you today, Lord. We thank you for everything you've done. Thanks for this food and this time. And we just ask that you would continue to change us and strengthen us and make us more like your son. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Amen. Like I said, keep on going through the line. Feel free to keep moving around. But we're kind of just wanting to look today in a little bit of a review to just remind of what we've learned and what we know is true and wrap things up very much with a bit of a call to action. Because first semester, we spent the time in Psalms. For those who weren't with us, we did study Psalms and we learned what it looked like to look up in worship. And then second semester, we jumped into the book of James to see what it really looks like to walk out in faith. And so today, as we talk about what it looks like to live a life of faith and action, I just want to remind us, you can't separate the two, looking up in worship in order to walk out in faith. You cannot separate the two, because if we don't understand the truth of who God is, and we are not motivated by his love for us and for others, then any good deeds we try to do are going to be either in our own strength or wavering in commitment, not consistent. And in the end, they will not bear the fruit that the Lord desires them to bear. And then if the only thing we do is we just gaze up and worship at the Lord, we spend time with him, we fall so in love with him that we start to detest everybody else, that's a real thing. To think you're so perfect, everybody else is so imperfect, that's a problem. We need to be gazing up at the Lord in a way that his love then moves out of us and is demonstrated to others. And so if we don't do that, if we're just gazing at the Lord and not demonstrating our love for others, then James says our faith is dead and useless. And so we do want to talk about what living a life of faith and action looks like today. And my community group saw the most extraordinary documentary. I don't know if you guys heard about it, Free Burma Rangers. It's a documentary that is a gift to us in that it gives us a very clear picture of what faith in action that's motivated by the love of Jesus looks like, particularly for this one family, for this one gentleman, this one man. It's almost tangible when you see this documentary. So let's look at the trailer and then we'll talk about it.
Every person in the world has something good and wonderful. We can stand together against evil. I want that story to be told. I felt God say, just come help these people.
I was asking myself, how can I bring hope? How can I bring new life to the situation?
What it's about is saying, here's everything I have, it's yours. How can we serve you?
This is the craziest thing in the world to do, and yet we had to respond.
While hundreds of thousands fled, an American and his family moved in
to help victims that are caught on the front lines of the war on terror.
Everything we've done culminates here. Lord, what do I do?
Whoever go, go!
No matter what it costs.
And you guys, this gentleman, this family, the Eubanks family, David Eubanks, they risked their entire lives together as a family to serve the most broken and battered and beaten and war-torn people you can imagine. And the film is truly horrifying. It captures the real truth of the real pictures of what has been happening and what they have been living through. And so it is viewer discretion advised. But I will tell you, for me, it is and was one of the most beautiful pictures of tangibly seeing what the gospel in action looks like. Jesus running to us to save us is what this man represents in this movie. And so it has motivated me not to move to Burma, not to run to Iraq, not at all, the opposite. But it has motivated me to keep a steadfast commitment to keep running into the spiritual chaos, the relational chaos, emotional, physical chaos in my life where I am now, in my current relationships, with the people the Lord has placed around me, in ministry. And it's a motivating, when we really see a glimpse of the true gospel, it absolutely motivates us to not be afraid to have gospel conversations. When we understand a clear picture of what Jesus has done for us, it gives us courage to share wherever we are. It gives me courage to say, Lord, I will love people no matter what because you love me. I will forgive people no matter what because you have forgiven me. And when it seems impossible, you know, you just get into these situations, which happens to me all the time. I'm just like, Lord, I don't know what to do. Help me. It's just an increasing dependence on the Lord when we get into things that we don't understand, we don't know what to do, to make sure that we are faithful, to cry out to the Lord, what do I do? Like we see this gentleman do in the movie over and over again. Because the Lord loves to answer that prayer, you guys. He always answers that cry, and then it grows our faith, and it grows our courage to keep doing it again and doing it again. And so I just, excuse me, as we start out, I just want to ask you to just reflect for a moment. What does your faith in action look like? What does it look like in your life? Because the truth is, we know from Romans 12 that we all have been given different spiritual gifts, different measures of faith. We know that we are all called to different places and to behave as different parts of the body. We all have a different function so that the whole together, however, can do the work that Christ died and asked the church to do. And so the thing that should be the same, the common thread that we can see no matter where we are called, is that our love for others is evident. It's not hidden. Our faith in God, our trust in him is not a secret to the watching world. And so as we start, I just want to ask, is there anything holding you back from that steadfast commitment to love people like Jesus loves people? You know, to trusting the Lord and obeying his word no matter what. And so we want to talk about just two brief things here that we've seen this year in our Bible study together. Living a life of faith and action requires two things: trusting the character of God and living an undivided life. Trusting the character of God, that's how we look up in worship. It's the fruit of looking up in worship. And then living an undivided life, that is walking out faith in action. And we see both these things present in the Davids, David Eubanks, and King David in our memory verse, Psalm 86, 10, and 11, this semester, which, say it with me, you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Nothing in this world, you guys, compares to God's love for us and the power in his lives. Nothing that we cling to compares to this. He alone is God. Everything he does is good. He'll never break his promise to us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll always forgive us. He'll always have his arms open wide for us. He'll provide and protect and give us what we need. And it means we can trust him. We have to trust him. No matter where we go, no matter what we face. And yet we'll find ourselves singing lyrics to songs like, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Mm-hmm. But often we find when our world is shaken, it's actually not true. You know, when people disappoint us, when things change, when trials come, when God asks us to do something that seems absolutely impossible, if we're really honest and we're seeking him and we're studying his word and we're wrestling things out with others, we find we're actually trusting Jesus plus something else. Like Jesus plus the job that I love or I want to love. You know, Jesus plus a more comfortable home. Jesus plus my health. Jesus plus money in the bank. Jesus plus a Watermark logo attached to my shirt. I can tell you from personal experience, you never really know what you're truly trusting in until the Lord asks you to lay it down. And so for me, in my life, when the kids were little and we were raising our kids, for me, it meant walking away from job promotions, job titles that I had previously had or that were offered to me because I wanted to spend less time in the business world and more time at home. But here's the thing. I thought my trust was in Christ alone. I would say it. I believed it. But I didn't actually understand how maybe an idol had crept in when I realized I was embarrassed in a certain season to hand out a business card that had a lesser title than I had previously had when I walked away from something. And it was a little shocking. I mean, I didn't use it as an opportunity to just brag on what the Lord was doing and talk about why and share my faith. No, I was embarrassed. And so I didn't know that had become an idol until he asked me to lay that down. And so what I realized is I needed to say yes. That's what I've learned. When the Lord asks us to lay something down, we actually need to lay it down because he knows what we need. He knows what is best. He has a purpose that we don't even know is ahead. And so we all, ladies, need to prepare ahead. We need to be ready to say, yes, Lord, no matter the cost. Because his plans are better than our plans. And he knows what we need in order to keep us dependent on him. You know, in order to make sure we're not trusting in the things of this world, but in him and his character. And yes, we count the costs when we're making decisions. We should count the costs, but we don't count the costs so we can say, no, Lord, it's too hard. I can't do that. It costs too much. We count the cost so that we can say, yes, Lord, and we understand what we're up against. We understand what it's going to take to stand firm and let our yes be our yes. And so living this way requires that we trust his character. We know his character and we trust his character. And men and women who have said, who do say yes to the Lord are men and women of the book. Sometimes you hear it said that way. Men and women of the book. It's the Bible. It's his word. Okay? Because it is here in Scripture that God reveals the truth of who he is. It is here where he convicts us by his Holy Spirit, anything he's trying to teach us. And it's here where we understand his character, his promises, and the way to live an abundant life of faith and action. And honestly, it's the only life that is worth living. And so first semester, we studied the 10 Psalms that we went through, and we looked at the character of God, the attributes of God. Do you remember the list? It's on your table today. We highlighted so many of the amazing characteristics, attributes of God that help us know him and trust him. And so what I want us to do is just take a couple of minutes as some music plays, and I want you to glance at this and take just a minute. As you read through them kind of quickly, I want you to put a heart beside each attribute that resonates with you. You're like, yes, I know this is true. This comforts me. And when you get to one that's like, I've never thought about that before, or, ooh, I'm struggling with that, or I don't know, put a question mark by it. Because what I want to challenge you guys to do for the rest of the time that we're apart until the next Bible study or study together, I want you to use this as your personal study time. To look up in Scripture, study the attributes of God, and wrestle the things where you're not sure. So take just a couple of minutes, and we'll be right back. guys can certainly continue that exercise in your personal time with the Lord. And you can talk about it at your tables a little bit later if you'd like to. But what I want you to know is that my hope for us all, for you guys specifically, is that you have fallen in love with the Psalms this year. And that you've realized the Psalms are a place in Scripture that helps transform our spiritual lives with Christ. Because it's here where we actually get to see God for who he truly is. Not who we want him to be, not who we're afraid he is, or that we think he is, but the truth of who God is. And the other thing it does, you guys, is it gives us the prayer language. Like, God's children for thousands of years have prayed the Psalms back to God. So if you want to know how to pray, you want a prayer language, pray the Psalms out loud. Use them for praise, use them for singing, use them for the cry of the heart of your heart, because as we said, there's nothing in the Psalms that is not represented in terms of what we deal with in the extremes of humanity. And so to live a life of faith in action, it requires trusting the character of God, because when you understand that he is merciful and compassionate, then you can become merciful and compassionate to others. When you understand how he has forgiven you, you can forgive others in his power. Because when you trust his faithfulness, it gives you courage then to live life as faith in action through an undivided heart, okay? Choosing an undivided heart. And that's what we see in Psalm 86:11. Remember, this is the part that says, "Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." And so the book of James has shown us over and over and over what it looks like to live with a divided heart, right? We talked a lot about that, the kind of living that bounces between trusting God, doubting God, blessing God, but turning around and cursing man. You know, loving God, but totally abusing the platform and the power that he has given. And a divided heart, what it actually means is that you're living completely differently depending on where you are. You act different depending on where you are. And that is not a representation of Christ. That is not a glory to him. You act one way at church, but another way at home. One way with friends, or another way at work or in the community. And what happens is we then become different people in different places. And it's like a chameleon. It's like changing colors to try and fit in to the scenery. And the problem, you guys, is that when that happens, we actually lose any sense of who we truly are, any sense of identity, any sense of God's purpose in our lives. And we then become tossed to and fro, James says, like the waves of the sea, just battered to and fro. And so that is absolutely how I thought and how I acted from like age 15 to 30. It represents how I actually did live a divided life. Even though I'd accepted Christ, I just didn't know his character. I didn't trust his character. I didn't read his word. And I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. So I acted one way at home, another at school, another way at work. And this is the exact opposite of what James is saying, the goal of our life, especially as we face trials. James 1:4, where he says, "Let endurance have its perfect work. It's perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." And so the way that the word perfect is used here, it refers to an integrated life, connectedness, wholeness, something that is connected and whole and consistent all the way through. And this comes when we know and trust the character of God, and then where we are diligent to ask him for the power and the will and the ability to apply what we say we believe to every arena of our life, in all places. You know, and for me, by the time I was 30, my pride and self-centeredness had set up such resistance against God that I finally had nowhere to look but up in worship and cry out, "God, help me. What do I do? My life is not working. Teach me your ways." And you guys, he answered that prayer for me. He does it every time because he's good and he's loving. And he uses trials to draw us in dependency on him and do things his way. It's his joy to deliver us out of the pit of despair and destruction. That's why Christ came to the cross. And I think we forget that. But just remember, once we see our sin, then we too can be like David in Psalm 86:11, where he's crying out, Lord, teach me your way. Give me an undivided heart. And why does he say that? Because he knows what it's like to live with a divided heart, and it's awful. It's miserable. There is no peace. There is no joy. And we are not doing any good to others when we live that way and falsely represent Christ. And so I don't know, maybe I'm the only one, but has anybody else ever lived that way? You know? And when you look at your life, do you see any pockets where it's still happening today? The beauty of looking up in worship and walking with Christ over time is he keeps showing us more and more. We have these seasons where we think, we're good. He ripped the layers of that onion of my heart out and got that sin. And then like a couple years later, you're like, oh, it's deeper. It's still there. It's sneakier. So living an undivided life doesn't just happen. It's a choice we make every day as we look up in worship and we invite Christ to be the center of our lives and put our faith in action into every single arena. You know, that can be our family, our work, how we spend our recreational time, friend time, money, possessions, downtime, everything. A relationship with Jesus changes everything. And so, living a life of faith in action requires trusting the character of God and then living an undivided life, so we can walk out in faith. And this, you guys, is a never-ending, beautiful cycle. It's looking up in worship, walking out in faith. Looking up in worship, walking out in faith. You never separate the two for a life full of peace and joy despite our trials that is a glory to the Lord and a blessing to others. And that's why, after all of the examples that James gives us about the tongue and our hearts and our everything, it's the final instructions in James 5, which is what you should have studied this week as you finished the section of scripture and you did your homework. It's where he says, okay, final instructions. So, be patient in the trials. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. He says, the Lord is coming to rescue us out of this broken world. He rescues us once and for all, and he rewards us for our faith in him. He ultimately will do that. He is coming again. And this is a perfect way to end our study, you guys. Let's look at James 5, 7, and 8. This is where we end. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. And then he goes on to say, while we're waiting for his return in verses 13 to 16, he says, we're to pray about everything. Are you suffering? Pray. Are you cheerful? Pray. Are you sick? Pray. Are you trapped in sin? Confess and pray, and you'll be healed. And side note, that whole section on the part about praying for healing, the key word in there is pray in Jesus' name. And you can't just try to understand one scripture without the context of all the scriptures that talk about how we pray and the example of how we see Paul and Jesus praying and when healing happens and doesn't happen. And so the one takeaway I do just want to say as we wrap up on that, because that can be confusing, is that we need to understand praying in the name of Jesus isn't a magic phrase. It means praying according to the will of God. And the truth is, in a moment, we don't ever fully know what God's will is. We know it's God's will that we do not sin. So if someone's confessing sin, he'll be healed in terms of breaking that sin if that's part of what the Lord's doing. But we don't always know. And so if it's the will of God to heal a sickness in a moment, he will. And if it's his will to not heal that sickness, then he'll take that person home. And so our job is to pray for what we desire. And when we pray like Jesus, not my will, but yours, Father, we can be sure that when we pray that way, we're aligned with God's will based on what we see before us, no matter what happens. And we can trust that his will is good and perfect and pleasing. Okay, that's what we need to understand about God's will and praying in his will. And so just as we wrap up, just this time of reminder of what we've learned and just what he has for us, we got to remember Jesus didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. And he's not mad. He's trying to rescue lost people. And I said earlier, and I'll just close this way to say, it is one of the best images I've ever seen of the gospel of Jesus Christ itself. A representation is a rescue scene in the documentary of Free Burma Rangers, where David Eubanks assembles his team to figure out how to give cover through enemy fire, to run through the enemy fire in what seems like a hopeless situation to save this 5-year-old little girl, you guys, that had been sitting there in the midst of her family that had been killed by the enemy for 2 days. 2 days. And she was frozen in the trauma of it all. She was frozen in the fear. She knew she couldn't move. And there was nothing that she could do to save herself. Nothing. And motivated by love, David Eubanks, he wrestled with the Lord and he prayed, "Help me, what do I do? Do we save her?" And the answer was yes. Just like Christ runs through to save us, that's what he chose to do, through enemy fire, and he saved her. And that imagery, you guys, you are the little girl. I am the little girl, right? We are sitting among people that are dying and broken and battered, and there is nothing we can do to get ourselves out of the mess. There is enemy fire all around us, and we don't know what to do, but Christ does. He runs to us because he loves us. And he snatches us out of the horror of sin and death for eternity, but he does it every day when we look up in worship and cry, "What do I do? Help me obey you." And so faith in action trusts the character of God and lives an undivided life. And I know not all of us are called to go to Burma or Iraq. And after you see the movie, you'll definitely not want to go there. But we are all called to love people around us where we are, no matter what, like Christ loves, and to do it sacrificially. Yes, it includes all the things we talked about in James with our tongues and our hearts, and we know how that applies in our families and our own individual lives. But what about serving those in need that we don't often think about? You know, here this can look like so many of you and so many we know here that have adopted a child that someone doesn't want. You know, or serving meals to someone who cannot prepare meals for themselves for a season. And it always includes sharing our faith. And yes, sharing our faith with strangers in the checkout line and as we go about our lives. Jesus sees you and he runs to you so that you can look up in worship and you can walk out in faith and run towards others with his love. And so today is the day every year at the end of our Bible study that we love to say so. We love to share what God has done. We want to declare it. This comes from Psalm 107, 2. Verses 1 and 2 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary." It is the best, abundant, amazing life to live when we surrender to him in worship and we walk out in faith. And so as we end our time, what we want to do now is we've got about 15 minutes to just talk at the tables. And there's some questions up here on the screen I just want you guys to talk about. We want you to talk a little bit about at your tables here how the Lord has helped you know him and trust him more through what he has taught you in Psalms and James. Because at the end of our discussion time, we are going to have our annual say-so of passing the microphone and sharing out loud to encourage each other of what the Lord has done. But in our table time too, you can also please feel free to share anything that you realize is holding you back from living an undivided life for him. Faith in action that is demonstrated. And yes, you can briefly pray for each other. So let's go ahead to do that now, and then in about 15 minutes, we'll come back and we will start our group sharing through the say-so. Thanks. All right, let's start transitioning into some say-so. Let's say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. All right, you guys, thank you so much for just, you know, thinking through, talking through what the Lord has done and what he has taught you, how he's impacted you. And this is just a time to encourage each other, to just share. And so would love to just have you guys share as you are willing. A couple of rules on this that we love to give. State your name first and last, if you would, so we can make sure we all know each other and who's talking. Be audible. We'll hold, you know, hold the microphone up. Be brief. And when I say brief, enough to clearly explain what the Lord has done, but brief enough that we can just make sure we have time for everybody to share what they might want to share. And be Christ-centered. Let's talk about what Christ has done, shown us, freed us from, encouraged us. And that'll be awesome. So Summer's got a mic here, and Courtney's got a mic there. So who would like to start us off? Look, we have somebody running to the mic already. She's like, oh, such timing. Sorry, I just had to do that. She's like, I'm out. Yep, you just get to raise your hand and we'll run a mic to you. It's like I'm not scratching my face. All right. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you.
I'll break the ice. Okay, so I think the thing that stood out to me most this year and has just...
Name?
Oh, sorry. Catherine Smith.
There we go.
stood out to me most this year are the verses in James, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, and that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And I can be really quick to anger with my kids in particular. I have a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I can be like, get your shoes on. And so, and it's about that fast. It doesn't feel that fast. It feels like it's taking them forever, but it probably is actually fast in their little brains. And so I've just been so convicted that while my anger may produce a change in their behavior, they may stop playing and get their shoes on. It may produce a change in behavior. It does not produce righteousness. And how ultimately I want these kids to know the Lord and to be righteous and not just obedient. And so that's just continually rattled around in my head that, like, this is not producing the work of the Lord in them. And God has used those verses in my heart to bring me to a point of, like I am to wanting to war against that sin. Whereas before, I think I'd been like, man, I just don't love that about myself. I wish I could do better. And now I'm like, no, this is the end. I'm going to kill it. I'm like turning my anger toward the sin instead of toward my children. So that's just been sticking with me.
That's awesome. Thank you.
I'm Shelly Price. I'm going to go along with you, girl. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Feel like Trisha's talk with words, her visual of the leather torn and stitched up, is stuck with me a lot. And I felt like I had taken ground in my anger and my sow in peace. And I had not fully. And so Meg's up there talking about that onion. You think you got it all out, and you're like, nope, there's a little bit of root in there.
Yeah.
Go back in there and get some more. And also, that visual of Jesus running to you, trying to save you, how else could you respond?
Yeah.
Why would you respond to that with an undivided heart? I mean, with undivided heart. Mm-hmm. Your only response to Jesus running to you is an undivided heart. So I almost started crying, but I'm going to hold it back now. But just thank you for your visuals.
Awesome. Way to go, Shelly.
Hello. My name is Key Evans.
Okay, so I was not going to do Bible study. I was running from doing Bible study. I actually tried to quit like 4 or 5 times. No joke. So thank you, Randy, because this is the first time I actually feel seen in the room. And James was very convicting, not for me, hopefully for everyone here. Yeah, because I would love for more people diverse to be a part of this group. Mm-hmm. And they only get to be that if people like yourselves show love to people that look like me. Mm-hmm. So that was one. Yeah. The second thing was I just always wonder in James 1 why it says if any of you lack wisdom to ask for it. But then it always said, ask generously without reproach. And I was like, why would he put that in there? You know, he doesn't do anything by mistake. But when I realized that he does it without merit, and he was talking to us that know the Lord, it just changed the way I saw some things. So that's it.
Thanks, King. Hold that microphone nice and close.
Yes, ma'am. I don't really need a microphone, but my name is Rita Sadache. Some of you know I have an autoimmune issue, Sue Bolin. And James really hit me. I always thought I trusted God with everything. I thought, oh, yeah, that doesn't mean me. Do not merely listen to the word, but don't deceive yourself. Do what it says. Yeah, I wanted to be the one that stared intently into the mirror and didn't walk away from it, ignoring it, but did what it said. So all these years, I have been terrified when flu season came around because my doctor told me it could be very, very dangerous for me until this year. And I got the flu. Mm-hmm. And that fear did not even enter my mind. I got the flu. Okay, I texted my huddle leaders and said, I can't be there, I have the flu. I went to the doctor, okay, got the medicine. Only thing I asked her was, with my autoimmune issue, is there anything in particular I'm supposed to do? No, just take your medicine. Okay. It did not enter my mind. I didn't even mention it to my husband. Then I realized, as I started feeling a little better, oh my gosh, I totally trusted God with everything. Whatever happened, happened. If I was going to get some weirdo illness alongside of it, okay, God's got this. Mm. I didn't mention it to my husband. I didn't mention it to my community group to pray because I have autoimmune issues. I just said I have the flu. Mm. So to me, that was a big step because this has been going on for years. So for me, I just focused on that and thought, God's got this. I don't have to worry about it anymore. So I received that freedom. Amen. From that.
Way to go, Rita. I think this is also the time where we can ask leaders to nominate somebody from their table because they have been sharing the amazing things that the Lord has been doing. So, just saying. All right, leaders, help us out. Talk with your table. Oh, hey, we got one over here. There we go. Way to go. Don't be afraid of the microphone. It's just us girls. It's great.
Well, that's what I just said. I was afraid of the microphone.
Yeah, don't do that.
Hi, I'm Heather Jeter. I don't
hold it close.
At all.
There, you can do it. You can. You want to just look at me when you do it?
I do.
Can yeah,
I
that's great. Just look at me. Right. I'm the only one here. It's great.
I'm lit up like a Christmas tree. Okay, cool. So for me, I'm a very emotional person. So anybody else in here emotional? Mm-hmm. You feel lots of feelings? Okay, good. Not Yuki? Got it. So for me, I grew up and I was told, like, you're too sensitive, you're too much, you're so extra. So that's just the home that I grew up in. And I think just diving deeper into Psalms and hearing how much God, like, loves us and created our emotions and mm-hmm. That Jesus experienced those and has people experience them in so many different ways and so many different extremes. I think that just was like a hug to me from God saying, like, hey, I created you like this, and your emotions, they matter, and they have a purpose, and so that just was encouraging to me. So
awesome. Thank you so much for sharing.
Hello, I am Christina Galloway. Key was encouraging me to share this. So this year, starting out, it has just, I used to be really good about going out and sharing my faith with people, and it used to be really easy. And then sometime in college, it got hard, or after college, and I started, like, wanting to share it with people in a room like this, but not outside the walls as much. Not sure what that was other than just maybe a fear of man or some thinking it would be awkward. But meeting Key this year has been just such a gift to me. And the verse, just to not merely be doers of the word, not merely hearers, but doers. And I was just not doing that. I'm like, I'll do all the other things in my life, but I don't want to go out and have awkward conversations. I don't want to do it. And the Lord, in the teaching on favoritism, and seeing people as God sees them, the more that I saw just his compassion and love for all the people, and her compassionate, contagious love for all the people, was such an encouragement to me that I have had more conversations with strangers about this love of Jesus that I have and wanting them to know him because I know him has just been such a gift to me this year to see Christ more clearly in his radical love for others outside of these walls with all of those sick and broken people. So thank you.
Awesome.
You want to race, Summer?
Yeah, I want to see Summer and Courtney running.
Here you go. Hi, my name is Mona, and I had a lot of life-changing moments through Psalms and James, but one I'll share is from James 1:16, where every good gift is from God and every perfect gift, and it was when Meg brought the teaching with the cup and the beggar. You know, and go into, and God had already been teaching me that everything that comes, that's good for me, like just, I was just struggling with like putting my husband on the throne of my heart or my children or my grandbabies. And I was just telling God, like, why do I keep putting them on there? Like, Lord, help me with this. And just going through Psalms and in James, and God was just so good to show me, like, Mona, like, they don't come put themselves on your throne. It's because you're bowing down to them. And I'm the one who gives, who is the giver. Like, it's not even fair for me to expect my husband to be my God, to love me unconditionally, to be perfect. And even for my children, and just in those examples that Meg gave as she was collecting those coins, like, just really everything that God had been showing me through Psalms and just in this walk right now, God was just exposing my sin in that. And so in that, I could not wait to that day when I left Bible study, I made a lunch date with my husband and just confessed to him, like, just forgive me for being a beggar. at your feet when it's not even fair. Like, God has created me to be your helper. And so just has really changed, and even had those conversations with my daughters. So it has really helped me to love them better from that. Just realizing that God is my God and knowing that only He is worthy of that.
Way to go. Thanks, Mona. Do we have over here?
My name is Andrea, and Tricia asked me to speak, so I don't want to say no to her.
Way to go. So
I'm going to try to be obedient. Our family is going through a trial right now, and my trauma started. We're new to Watermark, so the first week when we had to say who we were, and I kind of don't know right now. A lot of things are being kind of yanked from me, things that I could depend on. So that was hard. And then we got the Attributes of God sheet, and that's kind of where I've been living, is just, yeah, you know, I've been walking with the Lord a long time. And so it was like, yeah, He is good. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He can't be anything other than good. He is merciful. You know, He has a great plan. It's better than my plan. So all of that. So Psalms was awesome because I'm shaking. I'm sorry. I hope that I don't go home and think, gosh, why did I say those things? Why didn't I say other things?
You're good. You are doing great.
Thank you. But yeah, you know, I've been reading Psalms all my life, but it was kind of like, gosh, those psalmists, things are bad for them. You know, I didn't really, so now I kind of am a psalmist. And so during our break, I just had it on repeat on the YouVersion Bible app. You know, I'm cleaning blinds. I'm doing things that, things to work off nervous energy. And the psalm was there, and it was like, you know, God is good. He's saying, hey, Andrea, I've already brought you through so much in life. Do you remember this? Do you remember that? I brought you through it, and I'm going to bring you through this. So then we started James, and wow, you know, just talking about all the things I should be that I kind of am, or maybe I am a lot, but whatever. It was just rising above the trials, and I'm kind of a persevering person anyway. It's like, I'm like, well, why couldn't I do that? You know, why wouldn't I be able to do that? So I'm kind of not easily knocked down. If I get knocked down for a day, I come back. And so it's been like I've persevered. I am persevering. We're going to persevere. And then you get back to the attributes of God, and it's like, it's going to be okay. And even if it's not okay till heaven, it's still going to be okay. So these lovely ladies have been so, you know, God has landed me in the perfect group with the people that have shown me compassion. And so anyway, God is good, and He can be trusted. And our faith is in Him, and our tongues matter, and it matters what we say and how we say it. And mostly, you know, it's going to be for our good and God's glory, anything that happens. And you just need to know that. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you so much, Andrea. Thank you. And you guys, these are deep encouragements. I mean, it can be a small move. It can be a huge jump. And it's all the work of God that we want to celebrate.
Finally.
All right. Summer gets to hand the mic.
Okay. So I'm doing this because I want to share what God does. This is not about me. Mm-hmm. So my name is Carrie Chonko. And my husband and I last year went through Reengage, which I feel like is important to kind of preface this. And God brought us through Reengage and taught us a lot of tools. But truly just being in His Word through this Bible study and just like getting to know Him better and just applying these things and like really writing them on my heart and just meditating on His Word, I will just say because I've been praying, and it says prayer of a righteous person has power. And I've just been praying because truly after going through Reengage, I'm like, okay, now when is the next trial going to happen? When is the next transition going to happen to where we're going to need God, you know, for him to be working through me and not my flesh to, like, overcome. So then in this study of James, it talks about wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And this resonated with me so much because my husband just made a major job transition. He changed careers last week and started working from home, officing from home, which is my domain. I have two preschoolers, almost three and four. I related to you in that. And I work from home. And so I was like, okay, this is it, God. Like, this is our chance to show, like, is God going to win this one or are we going to let the devil win this one? So he is kind of upset because the kids are going chaotic out in the house, which totally normal. I'm used to this, just working in the chaos. And truly, by meditating on the scripture, I was able to respond to him peaceably, gently, lovingly, like, hey, let's talk about this, babe. You know, let's figure this out. And I can only give credit to God in that, because I can promise you last year, I would have been lashing right back out and being like, well, who are you? Like, so I just want to say hallelujah, praise the Lord for James and his words that he has put on my heart that has allowed the fruits, the fruit of the Spirit to work. So amen.
Amen. There you go. So great, you guys. Just encourages me so much. Who else can share? I know there's a lot. Don't be afraid of the microphone. Put your faith into action. Share. Hey, hey.
Guess when sweet Randy says share, you share. Mm-hmm. I don't want to share. When you hand me a microphone, I freak out, but this is for the Lord. So, yes. So in James 4, it talks about the Lord's will, and that's kind of where I've been focusing on the last really year or so. My sweet sister-in-law had a baby, and at 20 weeks, they found out that it was going to have a terminal disease, and so the doctor said, terminate, terminate, and we said, no, we're going to show those doctors what a miracle is and try to show them who our God is, and so we prayed, and I got to a point where really praying for the Lord's will, whether it be life or death, the Lord knows best, which is a hard prayer to pray.
Yeah.
So she delivered at 2 days, the sweet baby, or my sweet nephew, passed away. So it was not my will, but it was the Lord's will, and there was so much good that came from that. And one of the many, I'm sure, stories is my 5-year-old son came to Christ through that. He was asking,
oh my gosh,
where is Brant? So we got to explain where he is, how you get to heaven. And so he was able to pray the salvation prayer through our sweet Brant. And again, awesome. If it was our will, Brant would be here. And maybe my son wouldn't be in heaven. Mm. But the Lord's will is always good. And I think most importantly, to show those doctors that we can say God is still good. Yeah. And that's probably was even more powerful than making a miracle happen.
Yes.
So God is still good.
Oh, so good. Tell us your name.
Oh, sorry. Emily Bellman.
Thank you, Emily. So good. I think this side of the room over here by Summer has had a shortage. Who over here can be bold and share? I see a hand sort of going up by Anne. Who is that, Diana? Yeah, Lisa, she goes.
Diana's going to get the stink eye for this for a long time. Mm-hmm. Well, shoot, Diana. I think through Psalms and James, and I will cry. When Bible study started, we walked headfirst into a trial where my son was diagnosed with epilepsy. And I found this season one where I had to ask, do I believe you're good? Do I trust you? And your words today, what do we say we need Jesus plus? And I learned this year I really needed Jesus plus healthy kids to equal happiness. But I will tell you that through each of his big grand mal seizures that he's had, the Lord has made himself so evidently known that he is with us without a doubt. That all I can say in the trial is that he is kind and he is sweet. And he loves my son more than I love my son. And I know he knows what's best for him. And so I always think it's ironic because I wasn't sure I was going to be in Bible study this year. And I think just through the Psalms and through James, and he's just sweetly shown me what it is to have joy in the trial. And I can say I have joy in this trial because I know he is right here. That's it.
And your name? Did you tell us your name? Speak into the microphone for us.
Lisa Utek.
Yes, thank you. Way to go, Lisa. Thank you so much for sharing. Man, God is so good. I mean, you guys, this is why we call it the say-so. I mean, I just want to listen to Psalm 107, 1 and 2 again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those he's redeemed from the hand of the adversary. It's important that we share what the Lord is doing in our lives. It's important that we see it and we praise him for it. And it's important. Thank you for everybody who shared, because it encourages our faith. And I know there's so many things on our hearts. So I'm going to just close out our time. Is there anybody that was just dying to share? Just almost got that hand up. All right, then I'm just going to close us out in prayer. And I just appreciate you guys so much and your willingness to share and all that you've just pressed into this year. Lord, we praise you. You have redeemed us. You rescue us. You run to us. You are good. Lord, we don't want to cling to anything but you, and yet we're frail and we struggle. Thank you that you never condemn us. You rescue us. You set us free. Thank you so much for what each woman has had courage to share this morning. Lord, I ask that you would give her the joy of your presence in a sweet way today, because of her courage and willingness to share. And Lord, I know we don't have time for everybody to share, but I ask that your spirit would guide and nudge and encourage each woman to share with someone what you have done this year. And Lord, would you continue to grow us more and more into the image of Jesus? Will you help us to see people as you see people? Lord, we love you and we cannot wait to see you face to face. And we know that we are not home. This earth is hard. It is not our home. But you do ask us to live here now. So give us your strength. Give us your joy. Help us to obey your words. And Lord, I pray that we will be rewarded according to your word, as you promise to your children when you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, that is what we desire. So I ask that you'd strengthen my sisters. Thank you for all you have shown us through Psalms and James, and just this brief survey. Lord, would you help my sisters dive into the word, spend time with you, and be transformed by the truth of who you are. Lord, I ask you'd help us to live lives of faith and action that change the people around us because we point them to you, and that people would know your goodness because of what they see in us, Lord. So we just praise you and give you the glory and say thank you again. Amen. All right. We'll see you guys soon.